Hi, I'm Ruby from Fitzroy Primary, and you're listening to Community Radio on 3CR.
And you're with Annie and Matt, and we've got Shane Rizide on the line, and you're down at the picket in outside the Quantum site down in Westock.
So, that's right. Good morning.
Good morning. Tell us, Shane. What's going on around you at the moment.
So since Wednesday this week, all of the operators at Quantum in West Melbourne have been on strike. It's an enormous bulk liquid shipping facility here. Now, when the operators walked off, Quantum brought in scabs, replacement labour, from not just interstate, Queensland and South Australia, but we also believe they've brought scabs in from New Zealand to operate this facility while these operators are on strike. It's honestly an extraordinary move by this company. It's ultra aggressive. It's very hostile. And as you'd imagine, the members here are not happy about that. So we've had a picket up. We started our picket a few days ago. Unfortunately, the privately owned Port of Melbourne came down, issued a couple of people that were here at the time a notice to say that they were trespassing, and then a group of riot police told them that if they didn't move on, there was going to be consequences. We've made a decision this morning that we're going to return back down to the picket, so we're all here, and we're not going anywhere.
And that's at Mackenzie's Road down in West Melbourne.
Mackenzie Road, West Melbourne, that's right, just on the Maribyrnong River here. And it's a beautiful, filthy Melbourne morning. It's freezing cold and windy, and everyone's eating barbecue shows for breakfast.
Yeah, and Matt was saying that isn't it illegal for Quantum to lock people out when it's...
Yeah, protected industrial action, isn't it, Shane?
Yeah, this is protected industrial action. Yep, that's right.
And we were just talking about it off-air just before speaking to you. It seems to me this kind of parallels with what happened in the 90s with Patrick's.
Look, it's impossible to avoid the parallel. I mean, you've got a situation where a company has decided they want to try and break the MUA. They've stood their workforce down. They've brought in scabs from overseas, and then they're sending in the police to try and to bust the picket. I mean, it's not a good look.
Tell me, is there a sense that it's not just Quantum, but that they're of the vanguard of a more serious industry-wide attack?
Look, it's a good question. At this stage, I don't think it's a wider attack. I think at this stage it's very specifically Quantum management that has made the decision to try and take on this group of workers. I think what happened with the picket is that Quantum contacted Port of Melbourne, which is the landlord, and asked them for help. And the Port of Melbourne, which is a private corporation, they're the landlord, Quantum is their client, their interests are aligned. I think Port of Melbourne came to help their mate out. Now, what we want to really make sure is that it doesn't spread from here and become an industry-wide issue. As long as it remains this particular company and these guys hold firm and we've got the broad support of the community, we think we've got a chance of winning. In fact, we think we are going to win. But yeah, if it spreads, then, you know, this thing could get dangerous.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is that there's a whole lot of subterranean and important issues going on here, and this company. Well, can you give us some background to the company? Who are the owners?
So, like so many of these very large facilities, so Quantum is worth $1 billion, is the first thing to say. They're trying to sell, or the institutional investors that own the company are trying to sell their stake at the moment, and so it was valued, and we know this because it was reported in the financial press, and it was valued at $1 billion before the war in Iran started. Now, being a bulk liquids distribution company, it also, or storage and distribution company, it holds a lot of fuel. This particular facility doesn't, but the other facilities around the country do. As the cost of fuel has been skyrocketing, the value of this facility must have almost certainly increased dramatically as well. So the owners, to answer your question, are institutional investors. They're private equity firms from around the world, pension funds from Canada, etc. They're not real people that own this company. It's institutional money that floats up in international capital. They've got a team of managers. The manager's job is to try and make the business as attractive as possible so the investors can sell at a high price, and so they're trying to keep labour costs down simply as an exercise in maximising surplus value. It's a story as old as time, and, you know, just like they're playing their role out as ruling class functionaries, we're playing our role out as working class people, and we're going to fight them, and we're going to make sure that we get our share.
Now, the management team, have you got any insights into that management team?
In relation to what in particular?
Well, these workers, these operators, they must have put forward what they needed in terms of wages and conditions to go into the future, right? And yes, the management team just basically said, talk to the hand, I presume.
Yeah, that's what happened. Yeah, this management team, I think, thought that if they stand these workers down, that these workers would go to water and give up. That they would be able to bring scabs in from around the world and around the country to operate the terminal, and that they could starve this group out and the dispute would be over. They'd just have to accept it. I think management massively underestimated this group of workers, and they massively underestimated the union. The operators are so staunch in their position on this particular dispute. It's not even just about the money and the conditions that they're fighting for. It's really honestly about dignity and self-respect. I was just talking to an operator a couple of minutes ago, and he was telling me how, you know, just years have gone by where management have felt like they can, you know, just tell these operators to do whatever they want and the operators just have to cop it. And it's humiliating. And this particular dispute over this particular agreement is a last straw. And they're not going to take it anymore. They're going to reassert their self-respect because, you know, these guys are the people that run this terminal. They know how to do the work. They perform the duties. They're the ones who are out here, you know, in the middle of the night when it's cold and raining, getting the ships in and out. Not these bloody managers, and they're going to hold their ground.
So what were they asking for?
Look, it's just a pay dispute.
Yeah, right.
And all these guys want to do is keep up with the cost of living. It's not even asking for a big pay increase. It's simply trying to make sure that as the cost of living, rockets along, as we all know it is, that they don't go backwards against that. That's the crux of the dispute. There's some other small things that are nonetheless significant. You know, ships come and go at all sorts of crazy hours, and often the schedule gets changed at the last minute. So, you know, if you've rostered to work on a Saturday and then suddenly that gets shifted to a Sunday, you've ruined your Saturday and your Sunday.
Yeah.
So some of those kind of things that, you know, aren't going to come at a large cost to the company but are significant to the quality of life of these operators, we're trying to get that fixed as well.
Well, the quality of life to the operators, I mean, that's just a basic, not only human respect, but obviously it's a health and safety issue. If you're working intermittent hours, you don't have a fixed schedule. How can you manage your life, and then how can you work, basically?
Exactly.
Hey, it's really bizarre, isn't it? It's like they live in another world, these managers.
Look, they're certainly just very clear that their role in this dispute is to enforce the interests of the investors. It's not so much that they don't understand, what all this means for the operators. It's just that they don't care. And that, you know, what their job is to make sure that the investors maximise return. And if that means trying to squash this group of workers, then that's what they're going to do. It's a story as old as time. And, you know, it's not new to us. It's not new to most ordinary working class people that are listening. Bosses look after themselves. And, you know, the lesson that I think all of us need to take from that is no one's going to save us. Either we stick together, we hold fat, and we fight for ourselves and we fight for what's right, or we're going to get dominated. And I just don't think that that's a decision that anyone should make otherwise.
Just on another issue, the amount of money that's being expended by the quantum managers, bringing people in from overseas as well as the public purse, which is shown by the employment of riot police, that we're paying, taxpayers are paying for riot police to come and tell you guys to move on. This is quite an expensive operation on their part, really.
It really is. They've already spent more on trying to fight us than what they would have had to spend just to meet the demands of the operators. But, you know, I think what that tells us is, again, what we already knew, which is this isn't just about the paying conditions of the operators. It's also about authority, power, discretion. And this group of managers, they don't want their authority, power or discretion ultimately to be challenged. They don't want to share power with the workers. And so they're prepared to pay handsomely to make sure that they don't have to. One of the things that we do have to ask ourselves very serious questions about is the role that the state plays in supporting these operators. They can't do this on their own. These operators, these managers, the managers that run this terminal, they need the operators. The operators aren't working. They're refusing to move off their picket. Then that company's got a big problem. They need the state in the form of the police to come down and bust our strike so that they can succeed in their strategy of maximising profit. So our strategy has to include not just making sure that the company itself feels the pressure, but also that the state feels the pressure not to come and support this company in their attempt at busting working class people.
Now, you've got, there's two entry points into the... I looked at the map. There's two entry points into the quantum space. Is the community picket trying to persuade people not to enter?
Well, actually, there's seven or so entries into the quantum facility.
Oh, seven. Facility. Oh, that's an awful lot, eh?
Yeah, it's an awful lot. But actually, there's some really fantastic news we got this morning. So our picket is on a roundabout, and right now on Coote Island it is deathly quiet. There is barely a movement, and it's because we got news early this morning that the ship that was scheduled to come in today is in fact terrified of the disruption that's happening, and they've decided not to come in. The ship's sitting off at anchor. So there's scabs in there to operate the terminal, and they've got no work to do because there's no ship. And honestly, that is an extraordinary success. And it's an extraordinary testament to the solidarity that this group of workers has received, not just from the working class here in Melbourne, but also around the world. The International Transport Workers Federation, which is the international union that the MUA is a part of, has been talking to their friends and comrades in seafarers unions and port workers unions around the world, who have all been sending in messages of solidarity and contacting the shipping companies to let them know that this dispute's very, very serious, and that the shipping companies should take this dispute very, very seriously. And honestly, I think the shipping companies are nervous right now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Are you calling for people to go down to the picket today?
Absolutely. I mean, if this is going as well as we hope it will, then it's absolutely freezing cold and raining down here. We might eat our sausages and go home at some point, but certainly any time in the next couple of hours, we definitely want people down here. That would be fantastic. And stay tuned to our social media channels. So at some point in the next few hours, we're going to make an announcement about what's happening. We've just nailed down a few details. So the Maritime University of Victoria branch Instagram page is probably the best place to look. But certainly, if you're listening right now and you're in the vicinity and you want to come down and give us all a high five, it'd be enormously appreciated.
That's good news. Hopefully it's good news. Thanks very much for talking to us this morning, Shane.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Shane.
Hopefully I'll be speaking to you soon to tell you about how we won the dispute.